Good morning, Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of the consolidated results of the fiscal year 2017-2018 of Unieuro. Following the presentation, the initial presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. I'd now like to give the floor to Mr. Nicosanti Monterastelli, CEO of Unieuro. The floor is yours. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the presentation of the results of the fiscal year 2017-2018 Unieuro, the first year as a listed company. I'd like to remind you that the results we are about to show you are consolidated for the first time because they relate to the perimeter of the Unieuro Group, including Unieuro SPA and Moncler Consolidated as of last June the 1st. Now, let's move on to page 4 of the presentation, and as you can see, here we have the highlights of the whole presentation. As you might know, the current scenario, market scenario, is very competitive, and it can actually trigger problems for the most important players on the market. Despite this scenario, Unieuro was able to achieve excellent results. Revenues that were already published on March 26 were able to grow double digit and are very close to 1.9 billion euros. The network of stores strengthened and now reaches 48 new stores, so it was able to book growth despite an offline weak market. Our corner stores are still developing, and thanks to the contribution to the B2C from Moncler, it represents 10% of revenues. As far as margins are concerned, we reported an EBITDA adjusted of 69 million, more or less, with a slight contribution from the newly acquired companies, an adjusted net income of 39 million, with a cash flow normalized that achieved record levels, thus contributing to keep that debt under control that stayed nearly unchanged despite the powerful dynamic that was achieved this year. Such a performance from the economic and financial point of view was very positive, therefore we were able to confirm the dividend that had already been recognized to shareholders last year, amounting to 1 euro per share. Let's now move on to page 5 and let's drill down on this. So the 1 euro per share dividend is confirmed and it represents just over 50% of our net income adjusted as established in our dividend policy. So in the light of the current price at closing on Wednesday, the coupon yield that is offered is very interesting. Probably it is among the top ones of the whole Italian listed company, 7.8%. This is the dividend yield. One should also highlight, and you can see on the top right, that on June the 13th, those who subscribed shares in IPO for 11 euros will have already re-obtained liquidity for 2 euros in just 14 and a half months. So only 8.5 months were elapsed between the ordinary dividend paid by Unieuro last September. And we wanted to bring forward the payment of the coupon by paying it in one single lump sum, because we believe that this is a further way to remunerate our shareholders, so returning the trust that they have given us. On page 7, we can see the market scenario and the sales performance, so the market scenario for our company. We'd like to remind you that our fiscal year does not coincide with a solar year, so the market data have to do with of the time between March 2017 and Feb 2018. For the first time, following 3 years of recovery, following the reception, the consumer electronics market in Italy decreased 0.7% as a whole, and 2.2% if we just consider the offline segment. E-commerce, although it actually performed in a positive way, and although there's a positive long-term trend, actually marked growth, plus 10.8%. Online currently represents 13% of the total market, the internet penetration. Also, thanks to acquisition, but not just because of that, Unieuro outperformed the market in both channels. And I'd like to remind you all that these data have to do only with the consumer perimeter, because it was made standardized by the aggregated data of GfK. So white goods and MDA and SDA, volumes up, average price decrease, and despite that, the white goods segment closed on a par. But this was the market in general, whereas for Unieuro, in this high margin category, was able to gain some further market share. As far as the brown goods are concerned, IT, TV, so 9% decrease, although the large screens gain ground, the fact that there are no novelties, the consumers tend not to replace their instruments. But Unieuro is counter-trend, thanks to the choice to target the high-end products and large screens, and pending a new switch-off. A law was published. We are now waiting for the decrees. A switch off that today should be between 2020 and 2021, bringing about a change of about 20 or 30 million television of the current fleet that is currently present in households. So between 20 and 30 million, because since we do not have the implementing decree, we do not yet know how many TVs will have to be replaced. And then finally, the grey goods segment, telecoms and IT. Like the browns, of course, the telephone operators are also selling the device together with the service, and this is a threat for us. But prices and volumes increased, driven by the launch of new high-end models. I could quote the Samsung S9, the new iPhones, and also the growing online penetration. Unieuro, as far as its online platform is concerned, was able to grow in all categories, largely. On page 8, we see sales. Maybe we should not be going into detail because we are already familiar with these figures. On March the 26th, when the preliminary results were approved by our board of directors. But however, I'd like to highlight as the pro quota of acquisitions of 2017 actually brought about 175.4 million of additional revenues, and our online business launched at the end of 2016 was able to grow organically by 36.5%. On page 9, in the sales breakdown, we can see that the only minus sign is the wholesale, with the physiological rationalization of the wholesale partners, because some entrepreneurs withdrew from business because they retired, and also the accounting effect of Pick and Pay, whose sales pertain to the online channel, although they are collected in a physical store. Of a wholesale partner in this case. Going back to product category, white goods in Unieuro is growing faster than the competition, thanks to products whose penetration index in Italian households is still low, for example, dishwashers. At the same time, there is a very high, powerful growth of other products, especially novelty products like hoverboards, video game consoles. On page 11, we take another look at our strategic goals. It's been now a year or so, but as you can see on page 12, we drill down to the objective of proximity, the first one on the left. We were able to pursue it through acquisitions that basically brought us 41 new openings and 7 openings of new stores. At omni-channel level, all acquired stores were enabled for the click and collect, whereas the drive-to-store project experienced a ramp-up in terms of conversion rate. There was an improvement in experience, and we did that by refurbishing our stores with the adoption of new payment instruments. We were the first ones in 2017 to launch Apple Pay, and now we will also be launching Samsung Pay in the coming months. And also, the NPS measurement went very well in the light of an NPS that on average scores 40. We improved the customer care, and also we kept releasing new customer care. And also, we opened two new stores at airports on the travel channel in Bergamo Orio Serio and Napoli Capodichino. And we keep focusing on the highly profitable categories, especially the white segment, both in stores and online. I'd like to now draw your attention to the assets that are across, that basically pertain to all the three pillars. On page 13, we see the supply chain, and in our industry, definitely, it is fundamental. The centralized business model of UniEuro is a distinctive feature compared to its competitors. So our focus is absolutely great there. As we have been saying for quite a while, next September we will be opening the new logistics platform in Piacenza, 104,000 square meters, so twice as much as the current one. The new hub will be able to serve twice as many sales thanks to the improvements that you can see on the top right table. So, as usual, the UniEuro does not own this platform, rather it is owned by Generale Property, with whom we have had a contract for 11 years, and we have extended this long-term partnership with the possibility to custom make our structure. On page 14, we see the second facilitator of our strategy, the brand equity. We are strengthening it as we speak with the launch of the new communication campaign. The pillars of our communication strategy, omnichannel, so an integration online and offline, that's what omnichannel stands for, is the shift of attention from product to customer and the experience of the use of the product, and the consolidation of the brand equity, which is passion, proximity, and experience, the value on which our brand rests. On page 15, we see a focus on some partnership we have ongoing with suppliers. On May the 3rd, we will launch an exclusive partnership with the Whirlpool Group, the largest world manufacturer of white goods. We have reached an exclusive agreement of the Ignis brand for the whole of Italy and for all the sales channels, both on the major domestic appliances and the built-ins. So these products will only be sold by the UniEuro channel in Italy. And then Sony, too. One of the largest world manufacturers of TV, we reached an agreement for the exclusive sale of products which will only be sold by UniEuro. With Vestel, one of the best TV manufacturers, with Vestel, now we have had an agreement for 2 years for the exclusive sale of the Hitachi brand in Italy, and this is yet another brand of TV that will be sold only by our stores and through our sales channels. This project already started, and it is already very rewarding. And then we have other projects in the pipeline that are as important. With LG, one of the largest manufacturers of white goods, we launched a line of products devoted to our chain. With Samsung, we have just launched a few days ago the S9, their new mobile phone, with an exclusive launch of the 250-gigabyte version for the exclusive for the Italian market. With Google, we started a special cooperation on launching Google Home, that was launched in April this month. And with Apple, we are, as I said before, we were the first adopter of Apple Pay March last year, and we have become PEM, which is Partner Engagement Model, just a handful of companies in Europe, and a project is due to start in the coming weeks with Dyson, one of the most important small domestic appliances manufacturers. We are launching projects to have some specific areas in our stores, exclusive for Italy, with shop-in-shop by the supplier themselves. So these are just a few of the some of many activities we started with suppliers, and the idea is to have less conflict on pricing, because this is one of the issues penalizing the sector. And so this way, since our company is present all over Italy and in different sales channels, we have the possibility to sign such agreements so that we can contain margin pressure in the coming years. I'd now like to give the floor to Italo Valenti, the CFO of the company, to go down into detail on the financials. Thank you, Giancarlo, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let's now move on to slide 17, where we are immediately struck by some key financials. So sales grew by 12.8%, up to 1.9 billion euros, with a like-for-like that decreased at minus 1.9%. So I'd like to highlight that if we consider the existing network and we exclude the negative impact of new stores and refurbishments, the like-for-like becomes positive for 0.4%. Adjusted EBITDA 68.9, growing by plus 5.3% of the previous year, with a slight shrinking of EBITDA margin from 3.9 to 3.7%, mainly driven by a drop in the gross margin, with a higher impact of logistics cost, and then in the following pages we will go into detail about this. But there have been important efficiency gains and synergy in terms of marketing and rent costs for the network. Net income grew faster than EBITDA, plus 8.9% to 39.4 million euros. The net income margin more or less the same as last year, between 2.1 and 2.2% in the two time periods. Higher financial charges and higher tax offset the growth of depreciation and amortization that was driven basically both by the massive like-for-like investments performed over the last few years and by the investments for the refurbishment of stores of acquired stores. Net financial position. Well, the net financial position is close to zero, minus 4.5 against minus 2 last year. And it means that the company, in the time period considered, it was able to produce sufficient cash to fund and finance the acquisition activity, which altogether entailed a cash out of 38 million euros. And it was also able to refinance the investment, the recurring investments, excluding acquisitions of about 25 million euros, and also to enable the payment of a dividend of 20 million euros, dividend payment. So we see the performance of the free cash flow adjusted, more or less 68% growth compared to last year, with a remarkable positive performance in terms of the net working capital, that it can be seen at the bottom of the page, because the net working capital decreased by 56 million euros against 22 the previous year. As to the working capital, acquisitions play a role there, and the positive impact from the guarantees, warranties policy. On page 18, we see the key operational data. Very briefly, as a whole, we have 225 owned stores, sorry, DOS, with 48 openings and 3 close downs in the fiscal year. We are still rationalizing the network of the wholesale partners, 17 close downs and 9 new openings. The other important thing is that the development of pickup points went ahead, and pickup points amount to 395, 79% of all our stores. In terms of square meters, thanks to the acquisition, we achieved 333,000 square meters with a sales density that is still improving, 4,659 euros per square meter, vis-à-vis 4.6 last year. Loyalty card holders, still growth, +14.1%. And FTEs, 4,018. Growth is driven mainly by the acquisitions and new openings. On page 19, we see the main reasons why the adjusted EBITDA deviated over the time considered. Gross profit, +44 million euros, driven by acquisitions and like-for-like growth. Retail rents increased by 5.9 million euros. In terms of like-for-like, there is a significant efficiency there, and the increase, the rise, has to do with the enlarged periods of acquisitions. Personnel costs on the rise, mostly driven by the acquisitions and new openings, and part is also due to the new national collective contract that entered into force in August 2017. Marketing costs in line with the previous year, with an important shift of activities towards the digital world and less on the traditional marketing channels. Another element that we started commenting on since the first quarter, but that we kept discussing over the whole year, will still be there next year, is quite a powerful growth of logistics cost, because on the one hand, it is driven by volume growth. On the other hand, there is a very strong trend on the market with an increase in home deliveries and an improved service to customers. Other costs as a whole, +7.8 million. Two main items here. Before, the company was not listed. With the listing on the stock exchange, organic costs improved and also external costs. Now, let's now take a look at adjustments. As a whole, 27.9 million, in line with the previous year. If we exclude two important elements, which is the impact of acquisitions that stand alone amounted to 10 million euros and the Piacenza theft, the total of adjustments would be, actually would have been much lower, significantly lower, the amount of adjustments. I wouldn't like to stop to analyze any individual item. Let's take a look at the extended warranties adjustment. Here, the impact is starting to be felt also of the warranties we sold in the acquired stores of Andreoli and Cerioni, where we keep in a continuity scheme, we keep applying the very same principles that we adopted in the like-for-like situation. So this is an adjustment that whereby like-for-like is reducing, and then according to the level of acquisitions, the impact and the number of acquired stores, it might drop with depending on the speed, faster or slower. Then on page 21, we see the adjusted net income performance and the comparison in the two time period concerns, EBITDA 3.5, then D&A growth by 3.8 million euros, and efficiency in net interest and taxes, interest 1.4 as a whole and taxes 2.0, because of the deferred tax assets, with a total savings to the previous year of 2.0 million euros, as I was saying. Let's now take a look at the net financial position. As a whole, there was an outlay of interest for 8.8, net interest, which includes the fees for the new credit line for 50 million that we acquired in June of the previous year, and the fees of the renegotiation of the whole debt in Q4, December, for 2.6 million euros. So as a whole, CapEx 37.3, 12 of which have to do with the relaunch of the acquired stores, their refurbishment, non-recurring investments driven by the price of acquisitions, 26 million euros there. Then dividends distributed, paid out by 20 million euros there. And a strong cash generation because of the management of net working capital improved by 46 million euros, which together with the reported EBITDA enabled an absorption of these investments and the dividend policy too. And then on page 23, we see the reconciliation between the net financial position and free cash flow. And NFP, minus 2.5 million euros. If we add to this the investment, the impact of acquisition that we adjust, and then 38.2, and the adjustment item on the income statement, 19.9 million euros, and other small corrections, as you can see on the slide. So we finally achieved 66.7 million euros, which is the free cash flow generated by the company. I'd now like to give back the floor to Giancarlo for the outlook and closing remarks. Thank you, Italo. I take the floor back, and before saying goodbye and seeing you on November the 14th for the half-year results. So I'm doing this to highlight once again that the results we presented are strong in absolute terms and also considering the context. And they basically confirm once again the good health of our centralized model and our consolidation, omni-channel consolidation strategy. The growth has not finished. We expect it to go on with some further transactions. We have several of them in the pipeline, both in areas that are not yet covered and also some selective ones in a cherry-picking strategy. Not just assets that are distressed, but also healthy players that might enlarge our size and our competitive advantage, thus ensuring a better coverage of Italy as a whole. As usual, the idea is to remunerate shareholders to enable a balanced growth of the stock. And as you, as many of you say, it has not, it still has some untapped potential. So thank you for your attention, and we can now open the Q&A session. The operator, Chorus Call speaking. We will now start the Q&A session. The first question from the Italian conference call, Andrea Bonfà, Banca Acro. Good morning, everybody. I hope you can hear me fine. The first question has to do with the impact of the distressed situation we read about in the papers and in your physical existing stores, and we know the names down well. And among all the distressed operators, there are 500 million revenues annualized on the market, that between 10 and 15 billion. Of course, it has quite an impact on the physical world. So as a share, a market share, you should maybe see the impact of these close downs. So if you can comment on this. The second question has to do with the acquisitions scenario that you might be able to perform this year. If you can give us a range between a minimum sales that you might acquire and a top scenario. And the third question has to do with the contribution from acquisitions, a contribution of the acquired companies in terms of EBITDA, and whether you expect this contribution to be higher this year, also in light of less promotions in the new openings. And then last thing, on the extended warranties, what kind of trend can we expect this year? Because they were slightly higher than expected. So I will give you an answer on the stores. Last year, besides performing the two acquisitions of Euronics Partners, towards the end of the year and the early months of this year, we saw two more Euronics partners that are basically asking for receivership, continuity receivership. This is public information, so there's nothing new here. But these stores are still open. They're struggling, obviously, but they're still there. Whereas the other important highlight was the bankruptcy of the DPS, was the largest Troni partner that was filed for bankruptcy a few weeks ago. In this case, stores are closed. So for now, it is still early on, so it's difficult to put a number on that. Of course, in our stores, there are close to stores that just closed down. Well, we didn't have that many, truth be told, but just a few ones that we did have around the corner of the closed down ones. In those specific stores, we have a plus sign result. If just a few points for the time being, the expectation is that since the recession is still ongoing and maybe some other stores are now filing for receivership, if they were not, if they were rejected, so there might be a benefit here. As to the other question on potential acquisitions in 2018-2019, today the current scenario is such that it enables us to be more confident. And I'm saying this because today the coverage of the Italian country is pretty good, not yet ideal, but anyway satisfactory considering the new the 48 stores that we added in 2017. So faced with this scenario, we still have some uncovered areas in Italy, and now our focus is precisely there. These are areas where we can either acquire or open new stores. Of course, acquiring is a pretty fast way to gain sales and coverage, whereas opening is longer. New openings means a longer process. Of course, we are investigating this, and we must be very careful when choosing the strategy. We must opt for the best strategy. As I was saying before, today, we can't only look at distressed players. And in areas where we are still uncovered. So one thing is for sure, we will be performing some cherry-picking here. So even if we have distressed players, unlike what we did so far, we will never acquire the whole business, but we will try and do cherry-picking in the most interesting areas for us. Of course, we will also have to target different players, healthy players too, maybe because they have decreasing sales, so they might entertain the idea of selling their business. So what I was saying before, that we have a good pipeline of potential acquisitions, I meant it. It is true. And quite honestly, I have to say that today we can't really put a number on a minimum or maximum range of acquisitions. One thing is for sure, the process will go on, and I can highlight it once again, but we can't possibly provide any figures on this because they would not be very dependable or reliable. Because if we want to acquire healthy companies, we need to find a trade-off between the sales price and the purchasing price, selling price. As far as the extended warranties are concerned, so I can seize the opportunity to remind you of this mechanism. So first of all, I can give you some indications, but not so accurate numbers on the development of this adjustment during the fiscal year. Like for like, the impact of acquisition, well, this is an adjustment that gradually goes down to close to zero in the end of the fiscal year in February 2020. Of course, the way in which we treat extended warranties will be maintained and is maintained also for acquired stores. This methodology is unchanged. And their contribution to the normal reduction of like-for-like, it depends on the number of acquired stores, and it also depends on their performance in terms of turnover and, sorry, in sale, in terms of sale of extended warranties. So making a forecast is difficult. As of today, we have, in the last quarter, we have started recording the impact of warranties from Andrioli and Cerioni. And this will go on in a planned way for the next 6 years because extended warranties start from year three, and it ranges between additional four up to additional 4 years than the statutory warranty. As to the impact of new acquisitions that have not yet been performed, it will depend on the time when they are performed and on the size and the number of stores acquired. There's nothing much I can add to this. So can we have a what do you expect for the acquired entities in terms of EBITDA? So as we said before, as far as the year just ended is concerned, the contribution was slightly positive. We have always maintained that acquisitions would go into run rates after 12 to 18 months. So for this year, we expect a positive contribution. Thank you. Next question from the English Mr. Sailor, you have the line if you want to ask a question.
Okay, thank you. Pardon. Yeah, gentlemen, congratulations to the good results. I would like to understand two, three things a bit better. One thing is your strong performance in the online segment. If I saw correctly, you did a like-for-like online performance of 36% positive against 11% for the market. So maybe you can explain a bit how you do so well on the online business. And secondly, I would like to understand a bit better your net working capital profile, because I saw it went from negative 9% of revenues to a negative 11% of revenues. So maybe you can give some remarks on what you think is a sustainable net working capital ratio, and also what outflow you expect in Q1, given that now we are at the lowest level in net working capital, and it will substantially rise in Q1. Thank you very much.
So Bruno Olivieri speaking, Chief Omnichannel Officer of the company. So on the online performance, I will be answering this, plus 36.5% vis-à-vis 10% on the market. So the first remark to be made is the performance of the online market in Italy, which in the last year, if we refer to the solar year, actually experienced a reduction in the growth of the online, although growth was 10%. So this 10%, if we break down in different channels, is the result of a slowdown in the mass merchandiser channel, where, you know, this includes the pure players, and also a consolidation of technical superstores. So in practical terms, the omnichannel component of retail is growing because they accepted the challenge, especially for the white goods and telecom. And there is a slowdown in the pure players, especially domestic ones. So the top pure player in Italy, E-Price, showed difficulties, and also our Moncler, the same. As a matter of fact, the omnichannel component, the retail part grows more, and Unieuro is the one to grab the whole of this growth together with the top player on the market, which is MediaWorld. For the next year, we foresee a market that more or less will grow the same, with a new important acquisition of market share by Unieuro, at least with twice as much growth compared to our market estimates. The other remark is the strategy on acquisition channels. 80% is done at performance, and this shows that the brand equity of Unieuro basically also supports the online channel and enables us to achieve that kind of growth with a lowest possible cost of advertising. This makes the two channels grow sustainable. And as far as the net working capital is concerned, of course, the closing in February represents a favorable peak of the year, obviously. And the impact on the total of 55 million of change, of deviation, 28 million is due to the operating working capital, meaning the movement of stock suppliers. And acquisitions also had a positive impact there. Of course, this is a business whose working capital is negative, so the growth in terms of volume generated by acquisitions brings about a positive impact on the NWC. The second element, the important element that generated a positive result by 20 million euros approximately, has to do with the warranties business. And as you know, we cash in immediately. And then from the economic point of view, there is, of course, so basically that's what happens in the balance sheet.
Okay, thank you. And you expect that level where you are currently in relation to sales to stay around about -10, -11, or do you think it will change going forward?
Well, this is not a percentage that can be maintained as it is and unchanged. But if you want to understand the cyclicality, you just need to take the historical figure, the percentage, and this is a possible indication on the evolution of the seasonality, which is typical of the business.
Okay.
Next question from Credit Suisse.
Oh, hello there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. So three questions from me. First one is on the various cost lines. Can you perhaps explain how you think some of the cost lines moving this year, mainly on distribution, given that you're having a new warehouse, so potentially your warehouse costs should be lower? And also how we should think about rental costs. Is there scope for further leverage in rental costs? And finally, on personnel costs, there was a higher increase last year, and how should we think about that this year? That's the first topic. Second topic is, how much more rationalization is there in the wholesale segment in terms of store closures? And do you plan to open organic DOS stores this year? Those are my two questions.
I'll just give you some indication, quality indication on the evolution of costs in the fiscal year that just started. So logistics costs, well, this is a trend that we have been observing since the first quarter of the previous year. There is quite a remarkable growth of costs that is driven by both volumes. But besides that, there is an increase in the home delivery because the online sales also increased. So as to logistics costs, we expect a rising trend, a continuously rising trend. And the significant positive impact of the rationalization that will happen with a new warehouse will only be perceived in the last quarter of the year. So during the year, the impact is not very significant. As for rents, I would say very clearly and straightforward, because it has always been the case over the years. In terms of like-for-like, we reduce rents because we have yearly objectives of renegotiating contracts and, say, over a time of 3-4 years, we always try to review all the currently ongoing rental contracts. So there is a normal efficiency-enhancing activity for the like-for-like. So like-for-like, rents are reducing. But on top of that, we will have to add the costs of the new openings and the new acquisitions. Personnel costs. So as far as personnel costs are concerned, we have to say straight away that the year that just closed was pretty important, staggering, in terms of both organic growth at the number of FTEs in the headquarters, because the company now is a listed company with important hires or hiring of significant positions and a seniority figures for the finance, human resources departments, so activities that were not performed before the listing. And still ongoing is the fiscal year, hiring will continue also in the light of the important investments that the company is making for digital transformation. And in this case, too, this segment requires important seniority hirings. In terms of quality, this is the performance and the evolution of the three cost items. Then, as far as the wholesale rationalization is concerned, we do not expect anything significantly new to happen in 2018, 2019. We think at the end of the year, the network should be still the same with some enters and some exits. But it will just be a physiological development. As far as new stores are concerned, we already opened one a few weeks ago in Cagliari, Sardinia, and this was an opening that is part of this fiscal year. Honestly speaking, we are planning for 3 more openings this year. One is just about to be secured. And this is a Grosseto store. Grosseto has been one of the stores that MediaWorld closed down over the past few weeks. We already have a positive experience in this field because over the last 4 to 5 years, we took over 4 stores from MediaWorld, stores that were at a loss for them. And today we can claim that out of these 4 stores, well, the 3 ones we already performed, over 12 months, we were able to reach break-even. And today, they are profitable stores, these 3 stores that we took over. This proves that, unlike the market leader, we have a completely different business model, but we can definitely support different formats. And this has always been one of the huge advantages of our company. The fact that we have 225 stores with ranging revenues from 20 to 100 million revenues, and we were able to have positive EBITDA on all the different sizes. So we can be very flexible, and we can manage and handle different formats according to the needs in the specific area. This is a great advantage of our company, and is also the result of the centralization we performed in the past and also the model we have. To complete my answer on logistics cost, it is true. some costs are bound to rise because there will be more home delivery and volumes will improve. But we also expect a decrease in the handling side because over the last 2 years, with the current platform, and as I was saying before, it's 50,000 square meters. In peaks, during peaks, we were forced to rent out other warehouses nearby, and this was a cost, obviously. With the new warehouse, 104,000 square meters wide, we will eliminate these costs for several hundred thousand euros, so we will definitely rationalize these logistics costs.
Thank you.
If you want to ask a question, you can press star followed by one on your keypad. Next question, from the conference call in Italian, Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca. Hello, I have three questions. So the first one has to do, well, if you can say something on the attitude of your main suppliers, also considering the difficulty that some competitors experienced. For example, Samsung, whether you think that some payment conditions should be guaranteed to Unieuro, considering the volumes. So a comment on what is happening from the suppliers and the payment terms. The second question, in terms of investment, what you expect for next year, considering the CAPEX for the stores you might acquire, and if you can confirm the trend of decreasing recurring costs, since you confirmed that you are still refurbishing the current existing stores. As far as suppliers are concerned, we do not expect any significant change in their payment policies or payment terms. But I have to say this is has been pretty constant over the last few years. Over the last 4 years, especially when in 2013, when we doubled the network of stores, we had to double the credit. Well, we had no difficulty whatsoever. So I have to say that the fact that we have a positive background, a positive heritage with respect of the rules and strict payment terms was very helpful. And this will also help us in the coming months, when the increase in revenues will require an increase in the credit line. We usually pay our goods for 75 days, but this has been the case for the last few years. It's a constant trend, although the suppliers are trying to contain payment terms. So no news, no novelties from this point of view. What I expect is that payment will become a criterion by suppliers to pick their partners. I think that having such a track record like we have, and the fact that we comply with the agreements, will definitely help us in being selected by suppliers, because our competitors are in difficulty. When I spoke before about some commercial choices made by the suppliers, for example, exclusive products for us. This goes to show the strong partnership between UniEuro and suppliers. Just a few indication on the level of CapEx in the fiscal year that it just started. If we do not consider the impact of acquisitions, and we kept saying this, the level is €25 million. Of course, from time, some one-offs might come into play. Besides acquisition this year, there is an important initiative, which is a new warehouse. And here, both because of the automation of some important steps of handling, and also because of, due to some infrastructural aspects, CapEx will be around between 5 and 8, 10 million euros. As to adjustments, I hinted at this before, but maybe I should repeat it. If we do not consider the impact on adjustments of acquisitions, the amount is drastically reducing vis-à-vis the previous fiscal year. I say drastic, and you can understand it if you read it, the component. There's a detailed slide that shows what these adjustments are generated by. So no long IPO, no more. Stock option transaction bonus, no more. So if you remove the impact of acquisitions too, what really remains as a recurring item €2-3 million but for the adjustments of new openings and closing downs. Okay, thank you. And then two quick follow-up questions. Considering the outlook that we already provided on the online, what do you expect from the offline market and the strategy for the white goods? You were able to gain some more market share on the white goods, especially online. What is the next step for this specific category that is a strength for you? In terms of our market view, and I highlight our view because it differs from the latest forecast by GfK, we expect a slightly rising market for next year, total market, between 0.5 and 0.6, with an offline that is still negative, minus 0.4. But of course, these estimates will be revised during the revised budget, but the range is usually correct. And online, once again, close to low double digit. And this goes to prove that in Italy, the marketplace segment is gaining ground very fast. And this does not include the GfK market. And this will be part of one of UniEuro's investments. As far as categories are concerned, the market scenario on the white goods for the total market, we expect also online a slight growth for next year, following the strong slowdown driven by price in the last year, because the physical channel has responded to the pure players gaining volumes but leaving ground on price, with double-digit growth of volumes online, where we might gain some more market share, especially to the detriment of technical superstores. But once again, slowing down the growth of pure players, and especially the domestic one, because as you know, there is no Amazon in Italy in white goods. This is our view for the white goods and for on the market in general. Thank you. There are no more questions. Thank you all for your attention. I hope that we were able to answer your question in a satisfactory manner, but our company is always available for any further clarification you might need in the coming weeks. Thank you and have a nice day.